Why are you watching things about golf? Golf is what happens when people lose at hockey.
Great putt. It is
a miracle. A miracle? And lo, Jesus descended upon the green and said, yea, though I walk through the rough along the side of the green, I shall see no evil, for thou, the putt shall be 75 feet and no more, and no less, as it will fall into the hole. Yea.
Yea, that one.
Yea, though.
You sent it to me.
And lo, there was the puttage, and the puttage was good.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this episode, my man James Tape Lake Grillion and I will catch you up on the games since our last show, including the Olympic break. We'll honor Milan Hayduk and his Avalanche career. We'll discuss the prospects of a potential outdoor game in Denver. And we'll explain how Varley doesn't need a stick and barely needs a mask to save a goal against the Phoenix Coyotes. Those topics and much more Avalanche stuff coming at you in episode number 87 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He's James Tapley Graylian. I'm Jay Veen. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche.
Almost, nearly, just about.
We're close.
So close.
Close. And we're back in your ear holes.
Yeah.
It's been a little while.
It's been a little while.
Olympic break.
A little bit.
Life. Yep. All life. Those things.
Oh, yeah.
They happen. We're happy to be back.
Mm-hmm.
22 games remaining in the season. Didn't think we'd be here.
No, not at this position. Third in the division. And fifth in the conference. Chasing some damn good teams right now.
3 points behind the Blues. 3 points behind the Blackhawks.
8 points behind the Ducks, who are first overall, which is not a position that you would expect.
Does that matter anymore?
First overall?
It's just divisions that matter now, right?
Divisions matter.
Right.
Wild card matters outside of divisions. So wild card is from the conference. And we're going to get into a little bit later what the structure of the playoffs are, who goes
in. Yeah, because I'm confused.
Everybody's confused, and it's unfortunate. The NHL kind of took had to go with the four division thing and mixed everything up and then confused everyone with the playoffs, trying to get the same kind of weighting that they had before with the divisional structure with the top three of the division or the top of the division, get some weighting going on and then a wild card, because wild cards are apparently really, really exciting.
Whee!
And everybody understands wild cards because people like football.
And baseball. So the wild card could come from outside the division.
Yes.
Okay.
You can have a wild card, two from one division and none from the other.
Hadn't even thought about it.
It's true.
I don't doubt that.
Why do you ask me? Why are you questioning this?
I'm not questioning it. I just asked you a question, Mr. Defensive.
I don't understand what's going on.
Calm down.
Okay.
This is episode number 87 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. Are you cracking yourself up over there?
I am. It's like, why are mommy and daddy fighting? We're not fighting. We're having a spirited debate.
How was the latest Avs Hockey Podcast? Well, they just fought for about 3 minutes, and that was the end. Yeah,
there was some crashing and banging. I don't even know how they.
There's a rooster crowing. James, I don't know what's going on here. little, forget it. Don't worry about it, everyone. This is the Pierre Turgeon edition of the show.
The Pierre Turgeon edition.
We finally got into a player that wore the number. It's been a little bit for that. So yeah. Pierre Turgeon joined the Avalanche as a free agent on August 3rd, 2005. On November 8th, an historic goal in NHL history. 2005 became the 34th player in NHL history to score 500 goals. That was against the Sharks. And September 5th, 2007, he retired from the NHL. 53 points while with the Avalanche, 20 goals, 33 assists.
Yep.
Thank you, Avalanche DB.
Pierre Turgeon's daughter used to skate with the, I believe it was the Colorado Select team. At the Edge Ice Arena. And she passed away. She was killed in a car accident, hit a semi. She won gold medal in the 2008 Under-18 World Championships.
At the Edge Ice Arena where I skate, do some stick and puck out there. There's it's not an ad per se. It's it's on the boards.
Memorial.
There's a little memorial banner. There's a great article that we're going to link to from KSDK, I believe it's a TV station, about an Olympian who has a Pierre Turgeon's daughter's jersey. Had found somebody had found one, called her, and she was taking it for keeping it around with her and took it to Sochi with her had it hanging in the locker room. Liz Turgeon being a inspiration to her.
That's really cool.
Yeah, to get to the Olympic level.
Yeah.
And did. And so we'll link to that. It's definitely worth a read. It's
absolutely. Kind of
background things, especially if you only pay attention to the NHL, if you only pay attention to, paid attention to the men's Olympic hockey, something that's really easy to overlook, but that's those stories in hockey that you just, that happen without a lot of fanfare and a lot of big promotion. If it were, an NHLer, it'd be everywhere and there'd be a huge NBC special about it, exactly. Blah, blah, blah. But I love these cool stories that you hear that don't happen necessarily at the NHL cool. level.
We'll give it some fanfare because it deserves it.
Yeah.
So this is the Pierre Turgeon edition of the show.
Pierre Turgeon.
Right on. Always liked that guy. He's classy. Mm-hmm. That's why he played for so long. He's good. Yes. All right, we're gonna backtrack a little bit. We'll get through all the games. We have all kinds of stuff to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what I did here?
87.
Yeah.
Pierre Turgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're wearing it today.
I'm wearing the jersey.
That's very nice.
I popped the tags off this just to wear it for the show.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm popping tags. The you got the
little, I got $20 in my pocket.
You've got the 10th anniversary patch.
I love this patch.
Yeah, me too.
It's I have nice way patch. Way too many jerseys with this patch on it, but I don't care. If they wear a patch, it's a whole nother mm-hmm. set of jerseys that I can get done. So yeah, wearing my white 2005-2006 Pierre Turgeon jersey. Maybe we should post pics of this with the show.
I think you should.
We'll do that. All right, we're backtracking. Like we said, been a little while since we've been in your ears, so we'll catch you up on almost everything Avalanche. January 14th, the Avalanche play the Blackhawks in Chicago and win in overtime, 3-2. First period, the Avalanche kill two penalties. Tyson Barrie, don't forget that name, scores from the point. Ryan O'Reilly, a power play goal. The Hawks score the next two. And let's see. Just skipping over some stuff. Tyson Barrie, overtime game-winning goalie, is Joe Sakic. His second overtime game-winning goal in 6 days. Varley with 46 saves.
Mm-hmm.
Varley lately, get more shots on him, the better he plays.
Yeah.
Kind of like you? I don't know. Good old Varley. We'll talk more and more about Varley. January 16th, Avalanche against the Devils. They win 2-1 in shootout. Avs Twitter psychic was in serious jeopardy for this game. Ryan O'Reilly in the first with the... Oh, never mind. That was another one. Sorry. I'm talking about a different game. They played the Devils again. Beautiful feed from Patrick Bortolo. James wants to talk about that a little bit.
Oh, Jesus.
How often do we get to talk about Patrick Bortolo with a beautiful feed?
No, this was not good for Patrick Bortolo. This was, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about his pass. I thought you were going to break down the pass.
No. I was talking about the Duchesne pass.
Oh, excellent.
Duchesne had a lovely little backhand, pass that, it didn't lead to a goal. It led to a scoring chance from behind, but I believe it was back in the corner. And it's one of those passes where, you really see a guy whip it around. He's got it kind of in front of him, and he wants to pass it behind him. And a lot of times you'll see people just kind of swing their stick around. But the problem being, of course, that when you're on the backhand with your stick, the curve's going the wrong way to get to really make it easy to keep that puck on your stick.
Unless you're Ryan Smith, he's one of those flat blade guys that just,
yeah,
because he likes his
yeah, really like have a very flat built blade yeah. for that kind of thing.
Yep.
But you watch Duchesne's backhand pass in this, and he just has this lever that he pulls, and it's such a beautiful pass. Just take a look at it.
Duchesne's been getting good at those. He's had some trouble finishing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's getting chances, it's not quite as frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But man, every game he's got 3-4 really good scoring chances that he just hasn't been able to finish. So save him up until the team really needs him and then go crazy.
Guys are playing him a lot tighter than they were. They're just
as they should.
Yeah. And that's why he's such a threat that they're staying on him a lot tighter. What are you going to do? He just doesn't have the room they used to.
That's true.
Nick Holden, I thought his play was pretty poor.
He's had his moments
a lot more lately, but there's another game coming up that we're going to talk about that he just seemed really, really like a liability. But for this game, his passing and handling the puck was just way off. He's one of those guys that seems to need to take a little extra moment to settle the puck down before he does anything with it. And in the NHL game these days, if you want to be a top player, if you want to stay with it, if you don't want your pocket picked, if you don't want to create turnovers, you got to be ready to do something with the puck as soon as you get it.
And it doesn't matter where you are on the ice either.
No.
I mean, even in your own end, if you take a little time, those guys close in on you a lot faster than anywhere else. But it is Nick Holden, and he is who he is, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I guess you wouldn't expect too much more.
Yeah.
But you definitely don't want to expect to... Well,
you don't want to be that guy that has to wait until your opponent is right on you before you do something with the puck. It takes away your room. It's just like a goalie coming out to play, to cut down an angle. The closer these guys get, and you see people wait. I see this all the time. I don't understand it. It's like, why are you waiting so long until the guy is right on you to make a pass? Great. It may keep you away from, may keep him away from the puck if you make that pass, but your percentage chance of making that pass, of executing through him, or is going down the closer he gets, because you're getting less space to make that pass.
That is true.
Yeah.
Time and space is of the essence.
Bordalo, man, just sold out horribly on a laying out in front of a player going. Player's near the blue line. He's coming around towards the far side, kind of arcing in. And Bordalo, he's about a half step behind him, and decides to slide to block a shot. There's nothing about what this guy's going to do that looks like he's going to make a shot. If Bordalo had stayed with him, he could have pushed him to the outside. Instead, Bordalo takes himself out of position by laying out. Dude just steps around him, pass in. The thing with Bordalo on this is that, A, it shows what a limited toolkit a guy like Bordalo can have.
I think he'll tell you that he has a limited toolkit.
Absolutely, and that's okay. You know, he's a fourth liner for a reason. That's fine. But, even with that limited toolkit, stay with the guy, push him to the corner. Don't give him a reason to, suddenly it's basically 5-on-4 because you're getting up and chasing after him again. And now you're further behind.
He can't afford that. He has no wheels.
No, just stay with the guy. And
speaking from someone who has wheels myself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have wheels.
I have amazing wheels. But I have wheels.
So, look,
That was the tying goal because that was the Devil's
goal. That was the tying goal.
So that was the third period.
Yep. Like you said, he got left behind on a center on Rapture Day. It was just ugly.
So sad.
Stay on your feet, people. Stay on your feet. Stay with the player.
Move faster.
A good play is to get the guy to the sides and to the corners.
Pro tip.
Just saying.
James Tape like Grayland. Matt Duchene. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Avs header for that game.
Avs header, what did I say? 90 plus 1 equals 2.
Yep. Mine was New Jersey lane closure. Avs shut down Devils in shootout.
Way too long, but highly entertaining.
Look, I don't care if it's too long. I'm not here to win this thing.
No.
I'm here to entertain myself.
That's true. And that's what Twitter's for.
There you go.
Is that why you follow yourself and retweet yourself constantly?
Exactly. Yes. As Stephen Colbert said, and Twitter could not be happy.
Period.
I could not be happier, and Twitter could not be happy.
Hashtag Avs header after Avalanche wins. Avalanche won this one, by the way. 2-1, and like I said, in a shootout. Duchene O'Reilly scored in the shootout. It was the Devils' 8th straight shootout loss this season. And at least at that point, I haven't followed them since. Their 12th straight shootout loss dating back to last season. The Devils don't like the shootout. Hashtag. We'll post
and that was Corey Schneider in net, too.
It was. He was not happy. He's been happy, not happy after both Avalanche wins against the Devils this year. January 18th, the Avalanche at the Predators win 5-4. Avs lead 5-1 in the third period. In the third period. No problem, right? They sneak by 5-4. I wasn't worried. I don't know about you. You weren't worried.
I was worried.
You never worry.
I was worried.
Nick Holden makes up for all the things James was just saying about him with 2 goals and an assist and 9 hits. He was a first star in the game.
Man.
That's good stuff right there. And Matt Duchene scores his first goal in 14 games, which turns out to be the game winner. Takes the monkey off his back. He has done this before. And hopefully he won't have to do it again, but I will post a link to that video of him taking the monkey off his back. January 20th, we start talking about attendance woes. Terry Fry starts talking about why aren't people showing up for the Avalanche games.
Mm-hmm.
It's been getting a little bit better lately, as it should. And I think as the Avalanche, they have 81 points right now with 22 games remaining. It's looking pretty good right now as far as a playoff run and a playoff push, and people are starting to notice, especially with the Rockies season coming up, which will not be much of anything, mm-hmm. and with football being over as well. So attendance woes. What you got, James?
I kind of wrote a response on my blog, Jerseys and Hockey Love. You know, it's nice to have Terry Fry do the post rather than the standard.
That helps.
Guys that blame everybody else, that get angry at the fans. I'm not going to defend the fans anymore. Stuff like that.
I like Terry Fry that way.
Terry Fry, at least, you know, he put some thought into it. But,
as he usually does.
We're still not that removed. This is the first full season from the lockout number 3, basically. Or, you know, the continuation of the 2004-2005 lockout, depending on how you look at it. Honestly, I mean, it's obviously it's a little tiring, but also I posted some numbers of what attendance is like elsewhere. The Denver Cutthroats, for instance, last in the league in attendance for the Central Hockey League. Having the Avalanche in town is not a good excuse for that, because the Allen Americans of the Central Hockey League play right by Dallas with Stars. And, you know, you have so the question becomes, you know, is this a, you know, people keep asking, is this a hockey town? You know, I don't know. Is it? Yeah, I think it is, but it's not Minnesota. And it's not Detroit. It's not Toronto. And thank goodness, in a way, you know, we are what we are, and it's a and we've got the hardcore fans here just like anywhere else,
right?
And that's like you, like me, like the listeners. I don't have anything. I can't. If people ask where are the fans, really, a lot of times the fans are at home watching the game, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That just, it is what it is. I try not to get too caught up. I do get a little discouraged that, you know, sometimes there's a lot more opposing fans than there are, well, really, than there should be.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it always been. I wouldn't say this is a hockey town. I would love to say it is, and I think you and I would love to say it is as mm-hmm. well. It's a Bronco town. It's always going to be a Bronco town. I don't think 10 Stanley Cups would ever change that. But I think it's just the matter of there's so many different choices that people have with their money around here, and someone's going to hurt from it.
You know, frankly, if the NHL were to market the Colorado Avalanche the way that they market the Washington Capitals, the way that they market the Pittsburgh Penguins, the way that they market the Toronto Maple Leafs, a lot of Boston Bruins, Chicago Blackhawks, LA Kings, on down the line, if there was the attention from the NHL that you see in other places, you would probably see more people, more butts in the seats. But at the same time, Matt Duchene, okay, it was not a name when he got here, unlike, let's say, someone who was hyped like an Alex Ovechkin, someone who was already hyped like a Sidney Crosby, things mm-hmm. like that. He's not Alex Ovechkin. He's not Sidney Crosby. But finally, these guys are starting to get their own name, build their own reputation.
You know? I agree.
And frankly, you know, I'm a NHL fan on a CHL budget. You know, I don't have the money to go to as many Avs games as I'd really like to.
Yep.
But c'est la vie. I have a lovely television that I can watch them on. I really enjoy the post-game shows that we get. Cool. You know, Rycroft and Kyle Keefe have been killing it
lately.
They're
so awesome.
Yep.
And I think they know it, and we appreciate it. But the best marketing is winning, and that's helping. That's helping, and we'll see this momentum start to grow, and there's room on the Avalanche bandwagon.
Yeah,
come on in.
I mean, if you want to, and if people want to say something like, "Well, they have been winning," yeah, but okay, last season they got a first round, they got the number one overall draft pick. They weren't winning.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, you know, they've been
29th in the league.
Yeah, they've been stocking up like they were the Edmonton Oilers, and luckily it's been paying off. Unlike the Edmonton Oilers, because they've been doing other things like working on the defense, getting decent goaltending, things like that,
and giving the team the day off. And I think that's very different from, I know, many coaches. Sacco, there was never a day off with Sacco. But Wah, for the most part, these guys are still fresh, and I think they're excited. They're having more fun. There's a lot of dynamics to all this, but Avalanche have the day off today.
Yeah.
Avalanche have the day off today. They'll just come in and work out and then leave. I think he's really paying attention to that and trying to keep his guys, I guess, motivated. And for lack of a better word, like I said before, they're fresh and they're feeling good. And I think that's part of it. You have to help the guys take care of themselves, and that's working out well too. Kind of a new school attitude and a new, you know, a new era in Avalanche hockey, and it's working out.
You can't, you know, it's the old era in a way was the beatings will continue until morale improves.
You can't bag skate
somebody into happiness.
No.
You know, and if you're if you watched, we're going to talk Olympic hockey in a little bit, but it kind of, it goes back to me to the bronze medal game between the U.S. and Finland. The U.S. played like they didn't even care. Like they were just like they were just so hurt over not getting anything against Canada, about not going against, not being in the gold medal game. And Finland played with joy. And it showed. And it showed not only in their creativity, it showed in their celebrations, but it showed in everything that they did out there. And watching the U.S. completely lose their composure during that game is like watching the Avalanche under Sacco versus the Avalanche now.
Ooh.
Now they're playing with more fun. They're playing with more joy. There's a lot more smiling going on. And they don't give up. They never seem to give up.
I think some of that has to do with team leadership, because they haven't in the past, I guess, because I try to focus on the positive. In the past, I've seen them not give up, and I've seen them play through the game. I've seen them score late goals, you know, no matter how bad they had been as well. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely different. It's definitely, you know, it's fun to watch.
Absolutely. So if you want to see the fans show up, it's going to happen. The best marketing is happening on the ice right now.
Absolutely.
And they're actually pushing that out to the world. But, you know, enough with the I'm just tired of the annual let's roll it out column. It was pretty much a copy paste hatchet job before. And now, at least with Terry Fry, it's a little more thoughtful. But, you know, we get it. We get it. We understand that there's not as many people in the seats as there used to be back in the day. But the guys that are playing right now are proving that they can play, like, you know, closer to what it was like back in the day. And as they do that, people are going to come out of their shell and go, ah, we have hockey again in Colorado.
I find myself, and especially during the game Friday night when I was there, just watching Landeskog at 21, McKinnon at 18. How old is Duchesne now? He's not very old.
23?
Yeah, something like that. O'Reilly's right there as well. It's just like, how good is this team going to be for how long? It's as well as they're playing right now, there's no way they get worse, because there's still things they need to improve. I think even the team will tell you they probably need another one or two, you know, solid defensemen to be able to, you know, be exactly where they want to be. But other than that, you watch Varley play as he's played, you know, the backup goaltender will need to be addressed here. I think at some time Jiggy's not going to play forever. But thinking about how good this team is going to be for how long is someplace I think we've wanted to be for the last couple of years, and we're finally there, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it too.
January 21st, the Avalanche against the Maple Leafs at Pepsi Center. They get stomped 5-2. P.A. Parenteau returns the lineup way earlier than expected, and then actually was a healthy scratch the next couple of games. And he actually took the game some time off before the Olympic break, and then he came back, and he's been much, much better. There's some details here. Jay McClement, details, things, skip a few. It was just so long ago, it doesn't really matter anymore. But Jay McClement with the empty net goal to seal the deal. Ouch. All right. And once again,
this is one of those games that Phil Kessel is really starting to show that he is such a good player. And, yeah, any deal, any trade, because, you know, we're looking at we're staring down a trade that just happened with the Sabres in St. Louis. We're going to talk about that a little later too, because it has implications for the Avalanche.
It does. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, the trade between Boston and Toronto, and of course everybody immediately declared that Boston was the winner of the trade. Well, okay. You know, Tyler Seguin, who they picked with the number 2 overall pick, is
true.
You know, from that trade was gone. You know, he's in Dallas now. Kessel's turning on the Jets a bit.
Chris Stewart ever moved to Ottawa? I didn't even pay attention to that.
Chris Stewart
came up in the move that just happened, where it was going to be like a 3-way deal.
Oh,
where the Blues were going to move Chris Stewart.
It was just a straight trade.
It's interesting when teams keep moving the same guy, or the same guy can't quite stick somewhere. Yeah. It's like, oh, that says a lot about a player too. So you move Kessel and you think, but yeah.
Well, Kessel was people, you know, when you're in the hot seat in Toronto, it's going to be harder anyways, and you're really not going to get your due unless you're absolute superstar. I mean, right. Unless you're Wendell Clark, your host.
Or Matt Sundin.
Yeah.
You're done.
And even if you're Matt Sundin, you're going to get roasted out there. Lots of guys playing a lot of hockey with their pens and their typewriters and their word processors.
Typewriters. That's what most of them use.
Just saying, Kessel, man, he turned on the Jets on that one, and he's a good player.
Maybe they tied in that trade. There is such thing as a tie.
There is.
Both winners.
Yep. Or, you know, you just let it play out. See what the performance is.
What can you do?
Hit it.
You're traded.
Yeah.
That's happened before. January 24th, the Avalanche play in Florida against the Panthers and win 3-2. Alex Tanguy returns to the lineup after missing 36 games with knee and hip issues.
And 36 games.
Yeah, and then he was gone again. We'll talk about that. Ryan O'Reilly early in the first, Paul Stastny later in the first, McGinn in the second. Varley, 18 third-period saves. Keeps team in the action. Thank you, Varley. Again, more action for him is better. January 25th, the Avalanche play in Tampa. They lose 5-2. Avalanche down 3-0 late in the second period. Goals by John Mitchell and Tyson Berry make things interesting, but that was about it in that one. January 27th, the Avalanche in Dallas against the Stars. They win 4-3. Nathan McKinnon with another Avs Twitter psychic goal. Early in the first, Jamie McGinn. Later in the first, Jamie Benn. Even later in the first. Again, more details, things, stuff. Varley, 41 saves. Stopped all 13 shots by the Stars in the third period. Varley with more than 30 shots, and I believe I haven't kept track of it a ton since then, but I know he had 40 saves, I think, the other night against Phoenix, so he's at least 22-3 since from just this season with more than 30 shots.
Yeah.
So, again, the busier the better. Some goaltenders aren't that good. Martin Brodeur has been great for many, many years, except for the last couple. With, you know, 15, 16 shots, he's good. He doesn't need to stay busy. But Varley, the busier he is, the better he seems to play. So good for him. Outdoor game coming up. What do you think? Are we going to have an outdoor game here? I want to be there if there is going to be one. I'm curious about the jerseys.
The NHL is supposedly, they're talking about doing 4 outdoor games last year or this coming year instead of 6, which I think is a great idea. Six was just too many.
It is too many.
Yeah, I mean, 3 would be even better. Just, you know, let's not kill it. But supposedly Coors, who owns Molson, who is obviously a gigantic beer sponsor, and you would know this because they, you know, and apparently because there's ads all the time during these games. And can we just say, please stop sending these people into dangerous situations just to get your Coors Light beer?
They're in glaciers.
They're repelling and all of that. And apparently, who knew that Coors Light is harvested and not made?
They have frost on their beards and like
these guys.
And they just go through that back door in the bar and bam, you have beer. Thank you. And they only bring 6. That's going to last.
We need 2 more.
Oh, hell. You jerk.
Really?
All right, I'll
need
be right
2
back.
More beers, and I've got to go risk my life in front of all the beer. Anyways, Coors is pushing to have one in Colorado. And Coors is a big enough sponsor of the NHL that guess what? There's going to be one in Colorado. If it's not this coming year, it's going to be the next one.
And where would it be?
That would probably be Mile High.
Coors Field.
No?
I think the Broncos will still be playing. I mean, I guess they could do it right about now and do it at Mile High.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could do it at Coors Field.
Chicago just did it yesterday Soldier Field.
Yeah, so it'd have to be around this time. Yeah. But the only thing about now is that it's supposed to be like 65 this week. So I'm thinking you do it a little bit earlier in the year, and you do it at Coors Field, and you do it at night because it's sunny here most of the time anyway.
This is the one problem. Well, the two problems is one is articles like Terry Fry's, but the other one is that right now it's 8 degrees outside, according to my weather widget, and it's going to get warm and shortly, and who knows what the conditions are going to be. But then again, Soldier Field last night, it was snowy. No way was that ideal condition.
I think the sun is more the factor than the weather itself, because they can make ice anywhere. Heck, they did one in LA this year. Or was it Anaheim? It was one of the two.
LA at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. Yep. So they can make ice anywhere. I think the sun is more the issue.
And in fact, the funny part was that the ice at Dodger Stadium was pretty much the best ice that they've had for any of these Winter Classics. Yeah.
They've made that clear. The guys that make the ice, like every time they interview them, you know, they're showing the back end of stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, we can make ice anywhere. That's not an issue.
Yeah.
So if there's an outdoor game here, do you go?
Do I go?
Yeah.
Yeah. I go.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
Got to go for the experience. There's just, it's kind of one of those once in a lifetime things in a way. You know, unless you do a lot of serious road tripping like my buddy Scotty Hockey does, it's one of those things that you're only going to get to see once, maybe twice. It's like a game 7 of Stanley Cup Finals. I went to one of them, and I probably will never be able to go to another one, but it was worth it to go once.
That's true. It'd be a neat experience.
Yeah.
We should go.
Quick thing. Also, there was another, right about this time, there was also another ref cam, video that was posted.
I didn't watch that yet. I saw you had posted it.
It's an NHL one.
Wasn't quite as good.
I didn't think it was quite as good. The two reasons was marketing and,
marketing
and the ref. Well, number one, because it's an NHL video, they want you to see the game action. Okay. So everything, so it focuses a lot more on what the players are doing than what the ref is doing.
We can see that.
Exactly. Yeah. We get that anywhere. We might as well. You can get that anytime on a highlight show.
Right.
Show me what the ref is doing because that's different. But the other thing was that this ref, unlike the one from the previous video from the AHL that we had, the AHL one, the guy was very communicative.
Oh, yeah. It was good.
Talked to the guys a lot, blah, blah, blah. This one, it was a lot more, I'm the authority. No, it's this way. We're not going to talk about things. He was a lot quieter throughout the whole thing and a lot more I'm in charge. And sometimes maybe you need to have that with guys who are it's a similar spoiled situation. Well, it's a similar situation like coaches where, you know, your coach is making $1 million and you're coaching a player that's making $8 million and is guaranteed. And guess who's going to be fired first, you know, that kind of thing. So there is, I'm sure, a lot of puff up the chest and hey, I'm the one in charge kind of thing. But I appreciate the – I like the one from the AHL a lot better. We'll post a link to this guy.
Absolutely. Well. Thanks for finding that. I actually – like I said, I hadn't seen that. Yeah. Right on. NHL hockey official camps. We like it. Mm-hmm. They should do more, but they won't. January 30th, actually, just before the Avalanche Wild game at Pepsi Center against – you know, whatever. I just said it. The Avalanche sign goaltender Semyon Varlamov to a 5-year, $29.5 million contract extension. Mm-hmm. Not much to complain about there.
Nope.
Are you cool with that?
I'm so cool with that. Again, here we are. Performance and time have pretty much proven that the Avalanche have won that trade.
I haven't even thought about the trade for a while now.
Yeah. Who? Well, what happened? What'd they do? What'd the Caps do with their first round pick? They picked Philip Forsberg, flipped him to Nashville for Martin Erat, who scored his first goal of the season just before the Olympic break with an empty netter, I believe it was.
Ooh, sniper.
Has requested a trade away from the Capitals, and all anybody in the Capitals organization or, you know, any of the fans could say is, ha ha, you got Varley, good luck with his groin. Well, guess what? He's been fine.
Groins tend to stay healthy when they're winning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, things like that.
Sorry, guys. So I believe that they did, that the Avalanche definitely won that trade, and even though it didn't look like it before. So just like the Kessel trade, and we're going to talk about the St. Louis Blues Buffalo Sabres trade, performance is all that matters. And if you're worried about who's going to win a trade, chances are you got to see how it's going to play out.
Chemistry.
Yep.
Chemistry. Hashtag winning.
A lot of things.
The honker at Pepsi Center was broken this game. Mm. They tried to do it, and it just was not – it was not honking the way it should have been honking. So far this year, there's been hashtag premature honkage, delayed honkage, bonus honkage. Yeah, hashtag bonus honkage. I came up with bonus honkage. That's after a review, a good review. Uh-huh. And then, you know, after a review, the call on the ice stands. That's a good goal. Point to center ice, and then they honk some more. Yeah. Bonus honkage. Yeah. And this was broken honkage. The Rockies PA guy on the mic at Pepsi Center tonight and that night, and that was the first time in I can't remember how long where it hasn't been Roach or Connor Gahey. Mm-hmm. It's usually those two. So I was waiting for him to announce like Todd Helton, but that didn't work out. Both Roach and McGahey were in New York for Broncos Super Bowl coverage.
That went well.
This is important stuff. We're not talking about the Super Bowl. John Mitchell, Paul Stastny, and Max Talbot in the second period. Nathan MacKinnon with a game-winning goal in the third, and the Avs win this. It was a wild one.
If you have to say, see what I did there. Just don't even, yeah. Just not even, anyways.
What?
February 1st, the Avs
Go for it.
The Avs play the Sabres. They beat the Sabres up whooping. 7-1. These kinds of games don't happen very often.
They totally sliced them up.
My over 40 my over 40 league, our goalie is a huge Sabres fan. I know he was at this one. I'm sure he was crying.
That was a whooping.
Marc-Andre Kleish with his first NHL goal.
Face washes. They got back. I mean, it's fun to watch these guys just go nuts. Nate Gennon scored his first goal of the season the other night against the Coyotes. Yep. And they're just like so excited. I think Nathan MacKinnon was more excited than Gennon when he scored. jumped on him and everything. Loved it. So congratulations to Marc-Andre Kleish. And we'll bring him up here in a little bit. What a cool story. Yeah. From waivers to solid fourth liner, solid fourth liner. To your contract.
And with a couple of 5-2 losses in the books already, a 7-1 win probably feels pretty darn good. It's one of those where you don't afterwards you want to say, well, you know, don't want to get a big head about it, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, something like that just helps you prove, yeah, you know what, we can do it.
In control the whole time. That's what
even though it was against the Sabres, who were just horrible the entire season.
That's all right. Wins, you don't ever have to apologize for a win in the NHL. You don't ever have to apologize for 2 points. February 3rd, the Avalanche play in New Jersey. This was the game where Avs Twitter psychic was totally in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, James, there is one NHL team left that has not been shut out this season.
Which team is that, Jay?
I don't know. I'm going to have to check.
That'd be the Colorado Avalanche.
I don't want to jinx anything, but that is pretty cool. All right, good story.
Shut out.
The Avs down 1-0 late. Patrick Waugh pulls Jiggy with a little bit less than two minutes ago. Mm-hmm. P.A. Parento ties the game. Tipping a shot by Tyson Berry in the third. Avs Twitter psychic lives. Matt Duchene drawing a penalty late in the third carries over in overtime, and Ryan O'Reilly with a no-doubter off a brilliant feed from Matt Duchene. Avs win 2-1 at the Rock. Loving it. Hashtag. Mm-hmm. Next night wasn't so good. February 4th against the Rangers at the Gadden, and the Avalanche lose 5-1. They really were never in this game. Outshot 20-4 in the first period. Gabriel Landeskog with a power play goal in the second period, but it didn't go well. Matt Duchene scores off his pants. We don't need that. Into his own goal. We don't need pants shots. It just
hit him and bounced.
It glanced off like his hip and then goes in. And
it happens.
Credit to the Madison Square Garden fans. There was a 5-on-3. This was late in the second period. The Avalanche could have gotten within a goal or two. And credit to the fans with knowing the game of hockey and cheering their team through it and really gathering some momentum for their team. That was good stuff. And
believe me, I've been to a game at Madison Square Gardens. There is no wine and cheese party going on there. Those people are loud. They are rude. They are awesome.
They're New York.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it is absolutely.
That's cool. I've never been to a game, obviously, there. It's cool.
It's cool. It's pricey.
It's an experience.
Is pricey, yeah. But it is, but it's totally worth going. You got to go once. It's
awesome.
I've been to 22 NHL arenas. And 10 to go. Two of them have basically been shut, have been redone, shut down, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Penguins and Devils. It was one of the loudest, craziest, was Madison Square Garden.
That's cool.
It was just nutty. And it was against the Devils, so it was a...
That helps, too.
Yeah, it was definitely a good rivalry game.
Watched
at least one period with my buddy Scotty Hockey, and he likes to get loud.
So we fit right in. That's good.
That's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
February 6th, the Avalanche play at the Flyers, lose 3-1. What's worst goalie ever, fan?
Oh, you mentioned, okay. So you were saying that the Flyers fans, they don't bang on the glass.
No, they don't.
No. What they do, though, is swear, curse, yell, and scream at their own players. Saw a game in Philly, can't even remember who it was against, and I believe it was Leighton in goal. Mm-hmm. And he gives up like two goals near the end to lose the game. And this fan in the upper deck, the game ends, fan is leaving. He stops. He turns. He looks at the guys. He goes, "You are the worst goalie ever, ever. Worst goalie ever!" Screaming at Leighton, and I'm just laughing so hard.
I'm laughing so hard.
I had never seen something like that.
Did you go up to him and be like, "You're being kind of vague here, sir. Can you just say what you mean?"
Do not listen. This is just like a zombie movie. You do not approach the Flyers fans with any kind of criticism
whatsoever.
Don't
make any eye contact
or anything.
They'll
just be like, "Brains, they'll get you." They are scary. They are the Danbury Trashers fans of the NHL. They will, if you're parked in their parking lot and your car has plates from the opposition, state, good luck.
No way. It's that bad.
Oh yeah. In the playoffs, I think there was like somebody who like all the air was let out of their tires and because they had New York plates or something like that.
The cops are helping. Let the air out of people's
there's been a couple of like really violent episodes also that have gone really ugly, but there's been some that are a little more humorous like that. It's pretty bad. I was in Boston game 7, I think it was the first round of the playoffs between Boston and Montreal, and it was game 7. Joe Thornton was hurt. He was still out there skating, and it was Andrew Raycroft, and they lose. And I think that this was like one where they were up like 3-1 or something like that, and they wind up losing game 7, and somebody threw their jersey on the ice.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen that.
That's happened in Edmonton a couple times this year, and it's kind of a big deal.
Oh, I love that so much when that happened in Edmonton, because there's the coach, Dallas Eakins, like, "We don't need that kind of fan around here. Dude, we don't need your kind of coach around here, okay? How about getting somebody can win?
Mix in a game or two of winning or something.
Yeah, exactly. How about a few less first-round picks? That fan has been there a lot longer than you as a coach have been, buddy.
Or will be.
Yeah. No kidding. Ugh.
James is all angry. Now he had to get some juice.
Now I'm getting uppity.
Are you going to be okay?
I had to get my drink on with my Paradise Passion juice.
Get your pinky down.
Thank
you. Get your pinky on the glass. I don't want your pinky up. Index finger too. What does that mean?
It's very metal.
Hard rock drinking. Juice.
Anyways.
February 8th, the New York Times article about how much fun the team is having. The Avs made the New York Times. We'll post that because it was good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. February 8th, the Avalanche at the Islanders. The Avalanche win 5-2. This is kind of especially between the Sabres win and this one. It's like it's finally time where the Avalanche are just, for lack of a better term, they're the better team. Mm-hmm. So they go in playing like that, and they just kind of take care of business. The Avalanche beat the Islanders 5-2 in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Duchene, 2 second-period goals. His first was his career goal number 100. So congratulations to him. Second goal in the past 23 games, and his first goal in 70-plus shots on net.
Jeez.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The Avalanche take 5 penalties in about 90 seconds. One of these penalties leads to a 2-game suspension for Eric Johnson.
Oh, yeah. He was swinging for the rafters on this slash.
We'll post the video to it. It's like, I don't know how people can see that and go, well, that's crap. Oh, well, Brandon Shanahan hates Patrick Waugh, so he's going to suspend Eric Johnson because he has the chance. No, he broke Franz Nielsen's hand, and it was a plain chop. I mean,
I tweeted, I'm not going to say that was an extreme slash, but Jason Voorhees thought that was excessive.
Thank you very much.
Yep. No, it was
here all week.
Thank you.
All podcast.
You can just let me be funny and not be rude about it. All right, mister.
Sorry.
Thank you. Eric Johnson though. I mean, that was a bad, it was almost akin to, the slash, maybe with a little more velocity though, Patrick Kane put on one of the Finnish players in the bronze medal game. And it's just one of those things that doesn't really, there was no use for it, and
probably out of frustration. There was I think 5 penalties in 90 seconds. There was actually where they had to slow down the game to figure out the math behind, okay, who's coming out, you know, mm-hmm. when is a 5-on-3 over, blah blah blah. So they had all that as well.
Absolutely. But you know, if you're frustrated over penalties, don't take another one. You're just going to make yourself more frustrated.
Especially breaking a guy's hand. I don't think if he breaks his hand, he gets suspended for it. Mm. Because sometimes you see these chops and things happen. But when a guy gets hurt because of a chop like that, you're most likely going to get suspended for it. The Red Wings conspiracy theories are funny. I like those.
Anyways.
And Paul Stastny scores an empty net goal with no time on the clock after Thomas Vanek threw a stick. So they actually awarded Stastny a goal because there was an empty net.
Yep.
You throw your stick with an empty net. Doesn't matter if it goes in or not. You are awarded the goal, and Stastny was trying to flip it in, like, on his side of the red line or somewhere around in there, and actually hit one of the defensemen in the shoulder. Never came within probably 30, 40 feet of the net. Scores! Paul Stastny!
Those things are so funny.
Yeah, so they awarded that way after the game.
But, you know, that's them's the rules, and Thomas Vanek should know better than that.
I think he knew. I think he knew there was, you know, less than 2 seconds on the clock as well. Yeah. So that took us to Olympic break. Matt Duchene with the gold, Landeskog with the silver, Stastny one game away from the gold medal game and comes out with nothing. Like we talked about. And
Team USA, man, there's a certain psychology out there of hockey that you either win everything or you're useless. One team wins the Stanley Cup and then 29 need to retool or something like that, which is just insane to me.
It seems like that's the case though.
Yeah. It seems like that's how the attitude is. I don't agree with that attitude.
In most sports now, but yeah.
It's and maybe it's because of the stakes. Maybe it's because of money. I don't know exactly 100% why. I mean, you know, the Cleveland Browns are still going to be the Cleveland Browns tomorrow, next year, and the year after that.
The what Bills are you too. Do? Yeah.
But, Team USA did not show up to the bronze medal game at all. They scored 20 goals leading up to the semifinal game against Canada and scored no goals after that. And all it was just frustration and, you know, a showcase for the penalty killers pretty much for Team USA in the bronze medal.
How about the U.S.?
Show the heck up.
How about the U.S.-Russia shootout game? Did you agree? That was pretty awesome.
TJ Oshie. Somebody posted a picture of Herb Brooks, or actually Kurt Russell from the movie Miracle. Again.
Love the stories behind that, and you know that was definitely one of the highlights in my mind.
Here's the toolkit. You know, you don't send a guy in four times with only one thing in his pocket. Yeah.
How about Kovalchuk's little fadeaway, the little Datsuk-ish type thing?
Yeah.
Whoa. And I think I guess people have watched before, and I guess you have to play hockey to appreciate it a little bit more. But man, that was sick.
No, I think it's one of those things that, you know, when you they're
Koval Bucks,
when you're learning
sorry,
to school,
I said his name wrong.
When you're learning to skate, you're learning to play hockey and all that kind of thing. You know, everything, you're leaning on your stick, your balance, blah blah blah. But what,
everything opposite.
There's a certain time where you untie your upper body from your lower body. And that's what allows guys like that to be able to do anything remotely, you know, skate in one direction, have the puck in another, and things like that. It's all about that upper body versus lower body and them doing two totally separate things.
Very similar to a Datsuk. It looks very different right-handed, but that Datsuk where he does a little drag and then, you know, he's on the inside edge and wow.
But stuff. Really, none of the Avalanche players were hurt, so we're all winners.
Yeah, ask Islander fans about that.
Yeah, and Tavares out for the season.
No surgery from what I heard, but he's still out for the season.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's too bad. February 20th, speaking of injuries, the Avalanche announced that Alex Tanguay would have season-ending hip surgery, so hopefully he'll be back. I believe he still has 2 years left on his deal, so this isn't the end of the road at all for him. Speaking of end of the road, February 23rd, Milan Hayduk officially retires from the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
14 seasons, all with the Avalanche. Over 1,000 career games, is the only Avalanche player to play 1,000 games with the Avalanche. You've got Adam Foote and Joe Sakic, who were with the team for longer, but those were not all with the Avalanche. 375 goals, 430 assists, 805 points, 20-plus goals, 11 straight seasons, Richard Trophy in 2002-2003, third captain in history of the Avalanche, three-time Olympian, gold medal in 98, bronze in 2006, represented the Czechs in three Olympics, two World Championships, two World Juniors, and the 2004 World Cup of Hockey.
I had totally forgotten about the gold medal in Nagano.
Yeah. He's accomplished a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And great player, class act, not the best captain. I think we've all agreed on that. It just wasn't the best role for him.
It wasn't the best role, and it was bad timing, too.
All of those put all together. I think we're all kind of disappointed that he had to end his career the way that he did. It wasn't he didn't get really go out on his terms. Nobody really signed. I don't think he was interested in playing anywhere else. But I'm sure he would have rather had gone out and said, you know, I'm done, instead of the Avalanche saying, we're just not going to re-sign you. But
yeah,
that happens.
I don't know. I think maybe he felt like he had one more year. It's hard to know what he thought overall. But the fact that he was trying for some kind of contract somewhere kind of tells you that he didn't feel like he was done right away. But just taking a look at the team as it stands now and where Hayduk was at the end of last season – does this seem like a team that Hayduk would really have a place on? I don't think it is.
Not at all.
He's not the tough player for the fourth line. They're deep enough on the first two lines that you would kick him down to the third line, and really there's enough skill and speed going on in the third line that I don't think he would really have the role. I think that it was the right call by the Avalanche personnel wise. It's just unfortunate.
It's tough.
It is tough.
Definitely is.
But also I think it's the right call.
Absolutely. I'm sure maybe Hadou came to terms with that. He doesn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
But I mean one of the
if he wanted to still be playing, he could play in Europe. There's no question about it. He could go pick up a team somewhere there.
Yeah.
And he chose not to. And that's
he's been here long enough. His family's here. They're well rooted, obviously. Yeah. He just said he's going to play golf now.
And who knows? Maybe there's a place for him in the organization. Maybe there isn't. True. Hard to say, you know.
Who knows how the terms went, but he doesn't seem like a bitter guy or, you know, he wasn't real fiery, and that's okay.
He was emotional, but emotional in that, you know, in kind of a passionate way, not in an angry way. Like,
absolutely.
You know, when teammates were kind of leaving and he was very sad about it, and he even talked about how it kind of affected him. You know, that's the kind of emotion that he brings, not the kind of, you know, let's go beat and pound on other people, but that's not his game.
No, it definitely wasn't. Yeah. He's kind of your prototypical European player.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I think he'll be the last Avalanche player to have his jersey retired for a long time.
Yeah, I think they should. I think they will. I think he deserves it. Nothing but good things, obviously, by his teammates that were said about him, and part of a lot of great memories that I have. A lot of great Avalanche memories. Definitely one of my favorite Avalanche players of all time, just because I liked his style. Nice. It wasn't. He didn't need to grind. He didn't need to do anything. He just let his hands do the talking, and you know, good for 23.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens. I think they will retire his number, though.
Yeah.
He deserves it. Okay. After Olympic break, just a couple more games. February 27th, the Avalanche against the Kings. They lost 6-4. This one was a really sloppy game. But kind of – I wasn't shocked because of the 2.5-week break and everybody coming back. A couple of backup goaltenders in as well. During the day, the Avalanche signed Marc-Andre Cliche, as we stated earlier, to a 2-year deal. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if – just before the Kings game, if that had anything to do with anything, because the Kings were the team that waived him, that allowed him to get here. So the Avalanche basically pick him up for free. They just had to pick up his contract, but then he gets a great 2-year deal, which I definitely feel is well-deserved. Again, super, super sloppy. The Avalanche led 2-1 going into the second period and 4-2 going into the at one point in the second period as well. The second regulation loss for the Avalanche this season when they're winning after one period, which was a little bit disappointing. Here we go back to Holden as well, which is what you're going to get, but you hope for more good games than bad. But what you got?
He's
your new Hunwick?
Kind of.
He's not just that. Why would I not think of them in the same sentence? Why? Because Hunwick can skate and Holden's just not that dynamic?
No.
Because I don't want to. I don't feel like it.
No, Holden just feels, again, you know, with the taking a little too much time is Hunwick was a good defenseman from the knees down. You know, he was fast, but he was
so was Kyle Komisky. Uh-huh.
But his feet weren't, you know, his hands just weren't there, and it seems like Holden's hands just aren't there. Like, he bobbles the puck too much. He has to make the puck comes near him, he tries to make a play, he has to make a second play, you know, rather than making one play to do something.
Nate Gennon's that way as well.
Who's
going to go, though? They need to move somebody. Would it be a Ryan Wilson? Ryan Wilson's been in the doghouse a little bit this year, just as far as conditioning, as far as I don't know. His health is always a concern as well. They obviously need to do something on the back end. I wonder what kind of movement they're going to make happen, whether it's at the trade deadline or in the off season, to kind of solidify that a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, past Hayda and past Johnson.
Well, with this game, you know, keep in mind the Avalanche played 7 defensemen, and that was with Eric Johnson being suspended.
Right.
So you've got, you do have a glut.
Maybe it's Saric. I don't know how long Saric is signed for, but he's had a tough time as well. I mean, he had the back injury that kept him out for a while, but
Saric is a UFA next year.
I don't think he'll be back then. I think that's I like his veteran presence.
Benoit is a UFA next year, and Barry is an RFA next year.
Interesting.
I think they'll re-sign Barry. I think they'll let Saric walk. Benoit, I don't know about.
But, somewhere in between.
somewhere in between. Holden has 2 years on his deal.
Right. He signed that earlier in the year.
And Guerin has of course 1 year and then two.
Right.
He was extended. I would not be surprised to see Holden sent down at some point.
Okay.
Wilson still has another year on his deal, but it's 2.25, which isn't bad. He's, you know, if the question is conditioning, that might be able to be worked on. Just depends on what his body is like.
Maybe we'll know more tonight because Eric Johnson's back from his 2-game suspension. I mean, let's see what kind of dynamic there is. I bet you tonight Saric is your scratch.
And might be the two of them have to be a scratch because they've got 8 defensemen.
Saric and Wilson. Wilson's had a tough time lately as well.
He was on this LA Kings game. There were a couple times when he was way out of position and facing the wrong way. He kind of looked like.
He was fading away from Anže Kopitar at some point. It's like you don't fade away from a guy that big and that skillful. And then Kopitar had all the time he needed to and buried one.
Yeah, there were a couple times where the defense got a little hung out to dry by the centers not being down low.
I wasn't surprised by that just because it had been so long since they had played. But, I mean, it doesn't excuse it. And the Kings had scored like 8 goals in their previous 8 games, and they score 6 this game.
Like, but when you look at like Ryan Wilson and then you go, wow, he looks a lot like, I don't know, Shane O'Brien right now.
True.
That's not good.
Who was reassigned, actually, from Calgary. They sent him down, or they waived him.
Yeah, they waived him.
They waived him. I think they had to waive him to send him down.
Yeah. Abbotsford Heat jersey. If you're looking for a new jersey, you might be able to get an Abbotsford Heat O'Brien.
Wow. Shane O'Brien.
Living La Vida Las Vegas.
That's what he does. February 28th, the Avalanche beat the Coyotes 4-2. I expected the Avalanche to come out and play better, and they did. And this has happened most of the time this season. Credit to Patrick Waugh and the coaching staff. The Avalanche have lost 3 games in a row, I believe, 1 time this season. All the rest, they've been solid, which is why they are where they are. The captain with 2 goals and an assist, a goal and 2 assists. Nate Ginnon, his first goal of the season. Like I said, McKinnon was so excited for him. Varley, no mask, no problem. At one point, what period was this? Do you remember? Let's check the GIF, shall we? We're going to click on the GIF. While I'm clicking on that, did you see something I didn't with the don't try and shake?
Yeah, at the very end of the game, one of the assistant coaches, I don't know which one, he shakes somebody's hand to his left, turns to his right to shake the other assistant coach's hand, and there's Patrick Waugh, and he's like, doesn't even really try. Sorry. Patrick Waugh just like kind of head down and walks in. Do not shake Patrick Waugh's hand after
we'll celebrate a win. Later. Behind
he just kind of goes okay and walks off into the locker room. It was absolutely hilarious. The guy didn't even like go have an expression on his face. It was like sorry or anything like that. It was just like you're not.
Maybe
going
that's
to.
Part of their. Great. But maybe that's part of their thing.
Could be.
There was about 2 minutes left. Semyon Varlamov. As I'm watching the play, I'm like, is there a whistle I did not hear? Because everybody's still moving. Corey Sarge is standing right in front of Varley. Varley's trying to explain to the referee that, hey, the snap on the back of my helmet came off, and that's why it's off. And meanwhile, the Coyote player comes in and shoots, and Varley makes a glove save on it with no stick in his hand. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Sarge has 2 sticks in his hand. What a mess. But it was really interesting because I thought there was a whistle that nobody else heard. But yeah, I thought that was going to be a goal for sure, but the fans loved it. Mark Mosier on Twitter, absolutely, he's still talking about this, and that was cool. So Varley, no stick, no helmet, really, no problem, and we'll post a GIF to that. Mm-hmm. And 22 games remain for the Avalanche right now, 81 points, 3 points behind both the Blues and the Blackhawks. One of those teams has a game in hand on the Avalanche, but if you'd have told me that the Avalanche would be here right now, I don't know if I would have believed you, but I definitely would have taken it.
Conference standings right now. This is amazing to me. Number 1, Anaheim. Number 2, Chicago. Number 3, St. Louis. Number 4, Penguins. 5, San Jose. 6, Colorado.
That's the entire league, huh?
That's the league.
It's just so weird to see that.
And 7th is Boston, and they lost. They lost yesterday.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The Avalanche are having literally one of their best seasons ever. And they're still 5th in the NHL, or 6th in the NHL.
And 3 or 2 of the teams that are ahead of them are in the are in California.
Oh, man. What is going on here? It's crazy.
It's bizarre land.
Speaking of, we've got a trade deadline coming up Wednesday. And it's time for our annual trade Paul Stastny or don't trade Paul Stastny or what the heck's going on with Paul Stastny?
Yeah.
So was it Dater that decided to write about this?
Yeah, but, you know, it really is... this one's a little more forgivable for me. You know, I mean, we've had a lot of, oh, trade Paul Stastny, don't trade Paul Stastny. This just get, and it gets old, but we're starting to trend a new territory here. This is not trade Paul Stastny because of the underachievement status and that the Avs are losing.
He has no place here
in the team anymore. No. Now we're talking about trade Paul Stastny because he's going to be a free agent. Can they get something back for him? And frankly, he does make a little bit too much money compared to the new deals for Duchesne and Landeskog, and he's not performing as well as they are. If they can't re-sign him by Wednesday, the talk is that he's on the trading block and then he goes.
Huh.
But again, if you're the Avalanche, do you mess with success? This is the problem that everybody pretty much has. Last season, the Pittsburgh Penguins, they were on this massive tear of wins, winning streak. And what do? They bring in Jerome Iginla. Hey, great. Jerome Iginla. What team isn't going to be improved by Jerome Iginla? They lose games. That isn't because of Jerome Iginla per se, but why mess with success? Same thing happened with we brought him up earlier. Now I can't think of his name. Matt Sundin, when he went from Toronto to Vancouver, the thought was, oh, you know, Matt Sundin, he'll make any team better because you shift players on down a little bit and, you know, you lop off a fourth liner and move it. That's not how it works. It didn't work. And that's just, you know, so the question is it worth messing with success? I don't think it is.
Not the way he's played, not the way the team's played.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that's going to work. What, you never know.
The value of the dollars that you are spending on your player versus their performance, some of that is going to basically come down to your attitude towards it, not per se dollar to performance ratio. It's how do I really care about the money being spent towards this player? Ryan O'Reilly, you know, does the holdout, gets more than quote unquote should have or expected or whatever.
Well, he's another guy that you know, hopefully is going to be signed here pretty soon.
Yeah. But then again, but you also look at him and you think, okay, well, is he earning it? Well, he turns out he is this year. And, you know, you can either be angry about the money you can be angry about the money or you can be happy about the performance. It's hard to hold those two in your head right at the same time. We've shifted finally away from Stassi's money towards his performance, and it's been great. I say hold on to him, and he's probably going to wind up taking a pay cut.
Yeah, I wonder what that number is going to be.
Well, right now it's what, 6.25? 6.6 a season. O'Reilly's at 5. Duchesne's new deal kicks in next year at $6 million. And a little over 5.5 a year for Landeskog after this season. I think that Stastny is going down to around 5.
Yeah, that's crazy. You don't hear guys taking cuts very often. Unless they're like a Hajduk at the end of their career or a Joe Sakic.
Hometown discount.
Yeah.
But let's say that Stastny takes a two-year deal and goes 5.5, you know, 5.5 to try and make something work around here. I mean, there is a certain you can go somewhere and you're not guaranteed that you're going to win. You know, look at a lot of these teams right now. You know, there's a lot of teams out there like Vancouver that's hanging on by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah.
Or, you know, oh man, I want to go play in Minnesota because look, there's Parise and Sutter. That isn't working out so great.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's getting better, but there is still more chances to be taken these days with wherever you go, unless you're going to like a Florida, a Columbus,
right.
You know, things like that.
Stastny's not one of those guys. It's not like he's going to double his money by going somewhere else. If he takes a little pay cut, that's one thing. If you're a third liner having a fan, you know, really fabulous year, and you can get paid twice as much by, say, a Florida or whatever,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that's a no-brainer. It's just like, look, if I can make $4 million there, and my team that I'm on is so deep that they can only offer me two, I can get that.
Yeah,
Stastny taking a little bit of a cut. It's not like he's going to have to move or anything like that.
I think he's going to take a cut and gain term over it.
Get right on.
More years.
I'm cool. And a little I'm less cool with money. That.
Me too.
I can't see. I guess in years past, people would complain about that big time. But based on what we've seen, and based on how solid he is, and based on, you know, I think the history of his name in the jersey, he doesn't want to play anywhere else either.
I don't think that he's going to get more money anywhere than he is now. I don't think he's going to get the same money anywhere that he goes now. And I think that if he doesn't know that, and you know, looking at the market, and especially his agent doesn't know that. Looking at the market, I don't think he's negotiating from a point from strength, except for term. I think he can get years, and that's fine.
Would you rather go somewhere else and take a pay cut, or would you rather take the team you've been with that you know and really that I'm sure he enjoys playing for? Mm-hmm. And take a little less.
It's an ego hit more than anything else, I think. But I think you keep him, you work with him. And you know what? Hey, guess what? You don't want if it doesn't work out and he hits the market and he goes, fine, you've got $6.6 million back in cap space and money. Go spend it on somebody else.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. That's just me.
Breaking news as we were recording this, Andre Benoit will be scratched tonight by the Avalanche against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I'm not smart. And I can't say I told you so.
Nope, I couldn't either.
All right, Scott Thurston, Hockey Fool. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
Assuming the Avs are headed for the playoffs, what are their realistic chances to advance out of the first round?
This is where I wanted to talk about the trade to St. Louis. Here's the deal. Okay, so I had to go to the CBC the other day to take a look at what the new playoff seeding format means.
Okay.
In each division, the first three... the top three teams make the playoffs. Then you get two wild cards, and that comes from the conference. Okay, so if the next highest points comes from a different
division or your division,
exactly. It doesn't matter which division it's within conference. So you could have, like, for instance, at this point it was like Montreal. They were saying Montreal, Boston, Toronto. Let's say those are the top three. And then your next two highest point getters are Detroit and Ottawa, which are in the same division. Fine, they're the wild card. And that's why they're calling it a wild card, because basically there's your conference choice.
And it's wild.
It is wild. And here's the other thing. So if you've got a first place, okay, jazz hands, settle down there over there. So if you have let's say in the Central Division, okay, you've got Chicago as number one. And in Pacific Division, you've got Anaheim as number one. Whoever's the most points of those plays your least point getting
wild card. Yes.
Okay.
You're helping. Thank you.
Okay. Then in the other top point getter, or the other first place in their division, so then Chicago would then play the other wild card, the higher scoring of the two, you know, the higher
point. I see. All right.
Okay. After that, then you have divisional playoffs 2 versus 3. So it would be St. Louis versus Colorado.
Right.
Okay. St. Louis versus Colorado and whatever in
Ryan Miller and right. Otter.
So if we're looking
at least right now, there's still a lot of hockey to be played. The Avalanche have it's not a simple schedule. No schedule is really simple anymore. But at least this is where the standings are right now.
Right.
And we'll see where it plays out from there. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. So basically So
Avs now, against the Blues.
So right now, if the playoffs were to start today, Anaheim would play Dallas. Chicago would play Minnesota.
Okay.
San Jose would play LA, and St. Louis would play Colorado.
San Jose, LA, that's
yeah. There's good so there's some good matchups.
Yes.
And that's if things were played right now. So but It's kind of right now, if the Avs stay in it, chances are they're not going to be a wild card because of just how far away everybody is from them. They're going to be in that third slot. Three. So they're playing either Chicago or St. Louis, most likely. St. Louis just got Ryan Miller. So what are the chances that St. Louis, well, it's going to depend on what happens with Miller there. He's been a phenomenal goaltender in Buffalo on a team that has hung him out to dry.
Yeah.
Now he's going to be playing for a team with Ken Hitchcock as coach, who is a very defense first coach with good defensemen. They just got rid of Chris Stewart, and we all know what we think about Chris Stewart taking up some space and
where
time.
Did he go?
He went to Buffalo also in that deal.
Oh, because it was a three-way deal or something.
No, it wasn't. Okay. It was a two-way. It was a two-way deal.
Yeah, I
but
paid
it was.
Was it Stewart?
It was Stewart, Halak, a prospect, and two picks to Buffalo, and Ryan Miller and Steve Ott to
Stewart
St.
with
Louis.
his. I guess every once in a while, flashes of brilliance. Mm-hmm. He can't stick with a team, so that I don't know if that tells you a lot about what he might be as a player. Just because, I mean, here we I enjoyed watching him. But he had those moments where you're like,
you know who he reminds me of in a way, and this is going to sound a little odd when if when I first say it, but he's like a less skilled Jerome Iginla. He plays up front. He can play a skill game at times. So Jerome Iginla plays a skill game all the time. But Chris Stewart can play a skill game at times, but also is a tough guy and doesn't mind dropping the bomb and, you know, fighting or heavy hits and whatnot. He's basically got somewhat better hands than his toughness would make you think.
He almost strikes me as a guy that, I don't know if he's going to be moved that many times. I mean, other teams want him, but he seems like a guy, if he had that much skill and that much character and everything, that you wouldn't want to move him.
He's like Zooey Deschanel. You want a Zooey Deschanel type, but you can't afford Zooey Deschanel. So you want somebody who's got those attributes, but you can't quite afford the top guys like that. Okay. You get Chris Stewart.
Thank you. You helped me wrap my head around that one somehow, some way. I didn't think you were going to do that.
I had no idea I was going to pull out a Zooey.
Yeah. So the beautiful hot lady that you always want, but you got to put up with some stuff. And yeah,
you got to put up the money. You can't necessarily afford it. That's when the movie Goon. Did you ever see? Did
yeah,
you see?
Absolutely. Okay.
That she is like a poor man's Zooey Deschanel, whoever that woman was. I can't remember. I love the movie Goon, by the
great
way.
Movie.
Go see the movie.
69. It's hilarious.
The number taken. So what are the prospects? It's going to depend on what happens in St. Louis, and I would say, and this is just seems absolutely crazy to have to say this, I hope that St. Louis gets so much better that they have to, that they take over first and the Avs wind up playing Chicago, because that seems more doable right now than and hasn't St. Louis had pretty much the Avs number all season?
They have,
yeah.
Developing story. Hey, and some of that could be motivation. I mean, if there's a coach that can motivate this Avalanche team and get some payback if they do end up playing, you know, the Blues either first round or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, hopefully it'll be a great series and a way to build some character with some experience. And if they don't go too far, we know this will help them moving forward for sure. Mm-hmm. Let's go Avs.
So that was my take on it. Do you have a different one? Are you?
As far as the
getting out of the first round.
It's the playoffs. You never know what's going to happen. It's a 7-game series. It's not a one and done thing, which sometimes the Olympics and, you know, NFL playoffs can really throw you off to a point. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm just excited they're in there. I know they won't be satisfied that they made the playoffs. I will be, knowing that this is going to be a good experience either way. It's been way too long, and whatever happens, happens. It's, you know, I'll obviously be rooting for them. But yeah, it's going to be tough either way. It doesn't matter. It's the playoffs. It's going to be difficult, and we'll learn a lot about them as a team, and it will definitely help them moving forward, however it works out. There's my fence sitting.
I like it.
For the show.
That's fair.
All right. Got some shout-outs?
Got a couple shout-outs. Number one to Christine Taylor in Las Vegas. I went and saw the Las Vegas Wranglers.
How was that? I don't think we ever
Midnight
talked about
Circus
that.
Game. I got some pictures. I haven't posted them yet. You know what? It was so every year the Las Vegas Wranglers, who have the most insane promotions of anywhere,
as they should.
They did Rod Blagojevich night. Actually, I said it right. Where the one team wore orange jumpsuit jerseys. The other team wore prison stripe jerseys. Oh, so that's black and white stripes. So what do the refs wear? They wear prison guard jerseys.
Wow.
Yeah, they got the refs to wear different jerseys for this.
What a circus.
So for this game, it was a midnight game. They played the Colorado Eagles. Game started at midnight. There wasn't a ton of attendance because, boy, you know, it's...
I liked your live tweeting on the way down there, too.
Oh, walking from the Excalibur. Now, the Las Vegas Wranglers currently play at the Orleans Arena, and they're losing their lease. They're not going to play there next year. They're building a new ice rink for them, basically on top of some other parking garage slash casino.
Of course they are.
Because why not?
Because why? Because it's Vegas.
But it's the Orleans Arena, which is part of the Orleans casino.
Okay.
Because everything is attached to a casino there.
Right.
The other ice rink that I've skated at there is at the Fiesta Casino, because everything is a casino.
There's ice rinks and casinos there? I never even...
I know. It's crazy. Well, okay. There's slot machines in 7-Elevens. The place is insane. Wow. Anyways. So I walked from the Excalibur, which is on the strip, to the Orleans Arena, which is not on the strip. And ooh, I was not going to walk back at 3 a.m. That was a scary, scary walk.
What was going on? Like, I remember a couple of the tweets.
Well,
like,
I can't tell you. I cannot tell you what the woman who walked by me said, but I'm going to just say that I know more about her and her preferences in life than I needed to know before.
We'll talk
or
about
after.
That off. Off show, off microphone.
The guy on the other side of the street who was walking in the same direction.
He was kicking a trash can, yes? No?
He kicked a newspaper vending thing while screaming at nobody.
Maybe it tripped him or yelled at him or something.
And the guy who walked by me who saw my jersey and said, "Wear it proud, boo." I have no idea why. I think he was crazy. Anyways, it was... yeah, it was bad.
Okay, yeah. Christine Taylor. Sorry.
Christine Taylor, she went and saw the game with me in Las Vegas, and it was okay. It was a lot less circusy than I expected. They had a couple of circus acts. Like they had a guy who, you know, stacks chairs and balances on them. Pro tip, if you slip – make sure that you go into a pose afterwards because nobody will notice. And they also had a hula hoop woman. Pro tip, if you are the assistant who is tossing her hula hoops, when you need to toss about 12 of them at once, don't hit her in the face with them.
I love pro tips. They're my favorite.
There was the ringmaster guy. He did like the woman in a box, and we're gonna put tubes in and make it look like she's all cut up, so she's a contortionist thing. And there were stilt walkers, and that was all the circus stuff that there was. Not very impressive. Hey, here's
stilt walkers on skates.
Here's another pro tip. This one comes from the Colorado Eagles. Okay, if you are in a very 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 tight game, and you take a penalty, and you don't think that it's a good penalty.
Just go to the box.
And earlier in the game, the other team was called on a unsportsmanlike for jawing at the ref.
Don't. Okay? Just
And you're tied. Just shut up and go to the box. Don't slam your stick. Don't do anything.
Picked up two more?
Don't take your extra minor, because the other team is going to capitalize, and they scored on both minors, and that's why the Eagles lost the game.
Thanks for playing.
If you are the coach...
Pro tip number 5.
If you're the coach of said Eagles and the player is skating back and lollygagging back to the bench, stare him down.
Yes.
Oh, it was ugly.
Got the glare?
The guy would have been benched for the rest of the game if there really was much of a game left. It was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, it was fun. It was a good game. You know, and it was nice because I didn't know until that night, pretty much didn't know that the Wranglers were going to be back the next season, because they were informed like in January or December that they would not be back at the Orleans Arena. And they didn't have another place to play. So it's thank goodness for the Wranglers, the craziest promotions out there.
Interesting.
Shout out to Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet. Thank you very much for giving us a little bit of a listen. And Scott Yates for pointing us out to him.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah. He said that he listened to the show and he loves shows like ours, was digging it, so thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
Connor McGahey, thanks a lot for giving us a listen. He was tweeting that there isn't local hockey talk, and I tweeted to him.
Yes, there is.
Give us a shot, and he enjoyed it, so...
Pro tip, listen to the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche.
Yeah, if you don't like the fact that there isn't hockey talk in Denver, guess what? There is. It's just not exactly on your radio.
We just make our own. And sometimes Terry Fry has said the same thing. Like, and then when they do start covering, it's terrible. So you just want more quality stuff.
Yeah. What's the point? Why listen to a bunch of radio yahoos that are going to give you 2 minutes of hockey talk?
No, thank you.
You've got you covered.
And messing up names.
Mind you, we're going to, Oh, I never mess up names.
No.
Rod Blagojevich.
Look at Bugla.
But, you know, we'll get on you.
All right. I got some shout-outs, too. Shout outs to all the Avs Twitter psychic junkies. It continues to grow, and thank you. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. James Table Grillion for the love in your last blog post.
Aww.
So, yeah, shout out to you.
Word.
Do you want to touch my iPad?
No.
And the Royal Half. No. You're no. ruining everything. The Royal Half is the LA Kings is Kings is the LA.
He's a
Kings.
Blogger. He's a fan blogger, but yeah, he's, but they, he's a little more official. He's gotten.
They post his stuff on the Kings site, but they say you know not affiliated mm-hmm. with the team technically, not paid for by the team. But every game, they actually put the top five people to follow on the Avalanche and the top five people to not follow on the Avalanche, and we're on the good side of that.
Nice.
So thank you to. Him, her?
Him.
Him.
Yep, I met
Have
him.
You met him?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He's pretty funny.
Met him at the 2010 draft in L.A.
Oh, cool.
Nice guy. Really fun guy.
Excellent. But, you know, a fan of the show, a fan of the Twitters, and we're always posted there.
He's a funny guy, but don't go if you're easily offended.
Yeah, that you kind of get that feel.
He'll jump all over ya.
Kind of get that feel for sure. James is ready with the thing.
Oh, I just pulled it up. Hey, you can always find...
That's how we roll.
You can always, folks. always find the Avs Hockey Podcast, www.avshockeypodcast. You can post comments about this episode. You can subscribe to the feed in your RSS reader or on iTunes, however you like. There's a link to our curse word gear. Jay is wearing his curse word shirt under his Pierre Turgeon. Oh, man, put that jersey back down, my friend.
Yeah.
Ew.
Give me my beads.
Why you do that to me right now? There's links to Jay's Twitter feed, which is Avs Podcast, and also the Avs Hockey Podcast Facebook fan page, where we post a whole bunch of stuff, including Jay just put up a recent video from the Avs Jumbotron. They just did a new intro video. Hey, this is really nice also. Since they got the brand new Jumbotron, they've been actually doing more stuff for it. And I think we talked about it a little bit before, but you know, I've always complained about how the Avalanche do the same thing over and over and over. That isn't the case right now. They're really making an effort to do new stuff, show off for the wares, make more media, and it's definitely excellent. Anyways.
They've been doing a great job. I have to give a shout out real quick to the Avalanche Twitter feed as well.
Oh.
The guys that are running that have gotten way, way more interactive, funny stuff. Mm-hmm. I love it. So credit to them as well.
Yeah. The Avs Facebook fan page, Avs Hockey Podcast Facebook fan page is at facebook.com/AvsHockeyPodcast. Jay is at Avs Podcast on Twitter. I'm at Tape Leg, TAPELEG. I've been writing a little bit more, slightly more on jerseysandhockeylove.com. And you can call the show at 845-704-RINK, 845-704-7465.
Also on the Gmails.
I always forget the Gmails.
If you just want to send us a quick, a love letter, or if you'd like
ask
to stalk,
a question or
if
something.
You'd like to stalk us, if you're not connected on the Twitters or the Facebooks,
AvsHockeyPodcast@gmail.com.
Also created an Instagram account, which you'll see all the pictures on Twitter anyway, but it's just kind of a better layout to be able to see all the pictures that I've posted on there. Instagram.com/AvsHockeyPodcast. We're all over the social medias and the things on the internets. Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
Helping out with the tweeters. Jay's just did a post with some interesting cards that he recently got with some patches.
Patches, tags, all kinds of great stuff. I love jerseys, love the Avalanche. Cards are a way to kind of bridge that for less of the cost of buying the entire jersey.
Yep.
That's so don't know what plans I have for more jerseys, but there's always more jerseys, and that's what I'll post.
What's your plans for more jerseys, Jay? More.
More. Hello. Lots of them.
More's better.
That's another show, ladies and gentlemen. Episode number 87 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. James is now going to touch my iPad.
We can call this one the James Goes On at Length
edition. Nah, we're good. We're good. We had a lot to catch up on.
I did.
We'll be back in your ear holes in a couple weeks and doing what we do. And hopefully we'll be ramping up. We'll be able to have a better picture of what things will look like then. We can talk about prospects and things. And it's been a great year. It makes it easier to do the show. There's a lot more to talk about rather than, you know, we've had to make that sound much less this year.
Yeah.
But another great show in the books. Glad to have you back.
Good to be back.
And that's it. James.
Hit it.
Take it easy.
You too.
All right. All you out there, take care. Let's go Avs, and we'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later.
One day they're going to have a Google doodle about us. It'll just be two guys sitting in a microphone, and you'll have two buttons, one under each of us, and they'll push one under you, you know, something smart is said.
Something smart.
And then when you push the one under me, so I say something really dumb.
Come on.
And your mouth just goes open and you're like, okay.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks for that.
It'd be like a sound effects cart machine thing, you know, the little grid of sound effects. And all of yours are like, so the app scored a really good goal. And then, you know, it comes to mind and I'm like, tacos are tasty, but they can't loan you $20.
That's true, James. Thank you. Stay focused.